ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, we get Brother Johnny live in Houston. Johnny!
TJ!
Mike Ditka's in Chicago this morning. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Well, good. Unemployment has just been released. 7.7 is the new number. That's down from 7.9.
That's good. Let's get to work.
The fiscal cliff talks continue.
President Obama, who makes a base salary of $400,000 a year, says the key to a balanced deficit deal is not just spending cuts, but
modestly increasing rates for people who can afford it.
Okay, so what does that do again, Johnny?
Nothing. I mean, there's no money on the table, so we're not going to fix our overspending and our deficit and our debt problem. And I don't know what that means from there, but
John, it sounds good to the American people, the majority. See, the majority are in that other class, and the minority are in the upper class. So it sounds good to the American people that taxes are the solution. And so people hear that and they say, "Oh, this must be the deal." Well, we got to tax these rich guys. I saw a bumper sticker says something that I work and I pay taxes, so that I can support, I don't know, rich people who don't pay tax. I mean, it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But, I mean, these people, and that's really what it's all about to me. I mean, I think that, you know, hey, popular opinion's on his side.
Well, I tell you, though, Mike, it's interesting because the last thing that the president wants to do is fix this thing. So my question is, what is he trying to do? And, Stevie, I think he's trying to transform America from free enterprise and capitalism into something else. He has no intention of fixing this economy. And in fact, it looks like at this point now when he has really no more elections, so he can, there's no reason to politic.
You make a good point. I think there's a point either you know or you don't know. And if you don't know, you should find out. I don't think he's willing to find out from anybody else. So his opinions are kind of set in cement, and he goes with these things, and their convictions, and it leans toward a socialistic country. There's no question about it. I mean, people feared this in the beginning, but nobody said anything and this and that. Well, you know, it is what it is, guys. It's four more years, and if we don't get this thing fixed, people start understanding that we all got skin in the game, everybody. We've all responsibility. It's a big country. It's a good country. But a lot of good things that happen here. But, I mean, if we keep going the route we're going, all we're going to do is have class warfare. That's all it's going to be.
And, Johnny, your buddy Bobby Jindal, the governor of Florida, quoted today as saying... Governor of Louisiana. He quoted this morning saying, the Republicans have been painted as a protect-the-rich, cut-the-senior-benefits party. And he said there might be a worse political position to be in, but I don't know what it is. He said elections have consequences.
And, of course, the Republicans probably need to hold the line, but I don't think they will. The truth of the matter is the Republicans, Mike, were really the only people we had to defend us against this. They're kind of like the Maginot Line. And, yeah. You know, Steve, in World War One, the French had a tremendous military defense. They called the Maginot Line after General Andre Maginot. And in World War Two, they felt safe, because they could stop anybody and anything through the forest, and they were protected. And the Germans came, they just went around it. They went through Belgium to the north and then down south and made it through the Maginot Line in 6 weeks and took over France. And that's about what the Republicans have been able to do for us. So now we got to wait and watch this. And I don't know whether interest will go up, whether inflation will start to rise, but I do know that we're spending more money than we make. We all know that. I do know that we're not going to do anything about it. And I do know that taxes won't do anything. And it was interesting. I was watching Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida that Republicans have a lot of regard for. And he was saying, you know, we can't say this enough. This move of raising taxes won't do anything to fix the problem and can only hurt the economy. So... well, that's the only thing we're talking about doing, and it's meaningless.
Yeah, but it's not really. I believe in this president's mind, it's not about helping the economy. It's about appeasing a certain amount of people, a certain group of people that voted for him. I think that's basically what it's about. I told you I was going to do it. Here's what I did. I was going to get that upper class, and basically, to me, that's what it's all about. It's like a little boy that, that doesn't get his way, gets stubborn and starts kicking and whining. And that's who this guy is.
I think it's, I wish you're right, Mike. I hope you're right. Because I think that the Americans who have led this world and have been a very powerful and influential force, I think he thinks it's the end of that era. I think we need to be put down. We need to go more into kind of a one-world deal where America needs to stay out of it. And to reduce influence, you need to take this large upper – there's a large upper class, Stephen. When you're talking the top 2%, you know, that's still a whole lot of people. And he wants to take the power away from that group and put it into the government. And that's where we're headed, and that's his goal. Mike, he doesn't care about like those people saying, that voted for him.
We are probably the most influential country in the world, and for a reason. I mean, is Russia? Is China really? No. I mean, is Iran? No. Is Egypt? No. You can go on all these countries. England anymore? No. France? No. But the United States is, and why is that? Well, you know, because evidently, you know, some of the things we did over history are pretty damn good. I mean, let's face it. And now all of a sudden we're going to reverse history and say, well, that wasn't the way we should have went. Our forefathers didn't really mean for a democratic country. We should do this and do that.
And I think
I'm not sure I really get it. I guess I'm just I guess I'm stubborn. Maybe I don't want to get it.
I think why the reason that America has done so well is because so many people, not everybody, but so many people have had the opportunity to have an input. We have given the best idea the chance. The cream rises to the top. You can do it better, get him. There's been a lot less of the tradition, and you were born into this class. You can never do anything better than that. We changed that, and that's why we've been so strong. Yeah. And we're going back to what doesn't work.
Well, it goes back to this. You know, this country was founded on no matter who you are, no matter where you came from, no matter what your nationality, color, creed, religion is, you can accomplish anything in life if you're willing to work. I mean, that's why all the immigrants from Europe came over here. I mean, come on, it was an opportunity. And that's the only guarantee we have in life is an opportunity. Now, whatever we do with that, that's not up. But if we have a government that says, oh, you don't have to work. You don't have to do it. You stay over here, you just collect the checks. Hey, you're really destroying the fiber of America.
Right. And if you have a government that says, I'm not going to let the people choose what they want because they're not choosing right. So we'll decide who gets what.
And that's smarter. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what everyone else has done, and that's what we've done differently. And, Steve, it worked out for us. But we're heading back the other way, and I don't like it. But all we can do is watch and roll with the punches right now.
ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. It's Hall of Famer Mike Ditka. It's Brother Johnny. Thomas Edison of Oil and Gas, adjunct professor, University of Illinois, and now speaker for the College of Engineering, Mike Ditka, for the December 22nd commencement. Johnny's the commencement speaker. Mike, whoa.
December 22nd.
He's going to be the commencement speaker.
Well, they have a mid, you know, they have the winter graduation, so they apparently everybody else is gone, Steve, so.
Well, where's this at, John?
It's right here, right here in campus. I think it's at Cranard, isn't it, Johnny?
Yeah, I believe so.
Unbelievable, John. He's a guy, Mike.
All right, John. I'm going to work on you with that speech you're going
to
give.
I do need to talk to Mike. Steve,
I'm going to give you that.
He can help me out on that.
Anyway, Johnny, congratulations. That's a great honor. And this is College of Engineering. This is the numero uno in the world here at the University of Illinois. We're so proud of it. And excited to have you here.
Well,
to do that.
That's fantastic, John. You got to be very proud of that.
Well, thanks, and I'll try to come up with something, Stevie.
Hey, I'm hosting the football banquet. Anybody give me any credit?
Yeah,
come on.
That's what you got to do too. And another thing, and remember this: you keep giving those.
Anyway, Johnny did a presentation earlier in the week, and what you've done, Johnny, again, unbelievable. Some of the engineering, phenomenal work. I mean, it was really, truly. I'm so excited to truly be happy with your accomplishment. It's really exciting to show people what you've done. All right, how good are the Denver Broncos, Mike? They looked awfully good last night.
I'm going to tell you what, they really are good. You know, it's amazing how that team has been transformed. Basically, I think they got a very good coach. I think John Fox is a good coach. But I think what the quarterback, his attitude, his work ethic has brought to that team, I think it's in it's got everybody doing this, you know, just playing with great enthusiasm and great excitement about what they can accomplish. I don't know, you know, overall if they're all, you know, but they're winning. You know, you look at them and I say, well, there are teams that are better. Can they beat them? I think they can beat anybody on any given Sunday if things go their way. I mean, they lost the running back. They get no Sean Marino plays great. They lose receivers. They all play great. The kid went out, came back in, and made one of the best catches I've ever seen. And Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. What the heck?
But, boy, what a, you know, you talk about Peyton Manning. It's not just how good he is at football. I think it's just his – he's a winner. I mean, he brings everybody
– He's a leader. Leader.
Yeah, exactly. A good leader. Exactly. There it is, Steve.
Yeah.
It does take a certain kind of a person.
I think, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with, you know, Houston, Atlanta, all these teams. I mean, there's some good football teams out there right now. You know, Green Bay's got back in the picture again, guys. It's bad when they get back in the picture like that. It's, you know, interesting things happen. So, you know, I know they're back in the Bears. The Bears ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, they had no answer for Russell Wilson running the ball or throwing the ball. And I think a lot of defenses, and Bears got a good defense, but I think when you have to play against a quarterback like that, that's a dual threat, I think it's really hard to defend them. I really do. So, I don't know. The Bears got their work cut up going up to Minnesota.
Well, and you know, too, Urlacher's been out. Well, I think
the leadership will be.
That's the thing. It's the coaching on the field that, boy, you lose a guy like that.
Yep.
It really.
Exactly, John. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. How about Barry Alvarez going to coach Wisconsin and Brett Bielema goes to Arkansas? I thought he was a lifer in Madison.
Well, you know, I don't understand these moves, and I understand it's about money, and maybe you want to coach in the SEC or whatever, but can't you wait till the season's over?
Yeah.
And give these guys their just due, these players? I mean, they earned the right to go to end up in the Rose Bowl with the same people that they started the season with.
I mean, Mike, though, if they say, Brett, you're making 1 point whatever, I'll give you a $19.2 million guaranteed for 5 or 6 years or what, I think it's 3.2 a year, but you got to come now. I mean,
well, that's because they have to get players for next year for their program. And unfortunately, Mike, it's a business. And
well,
they don't really
and
care about
it. John, as we all know, you know, coaching is not about money. It's about the heart, where your heart is. And maybe it'll be in Arkansas for him. I'm not knocking him. I mean, I'm just saying, I wish they would have waited. I wish all these coaches that are jumping would wait till the season's over so they could end up coaching the bowl game with their team.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
I mean, I understand just what you said.
But where do we live, Mike, when Brett Bielema gets 32 times more than you got from George Halas?
Well, that's neither here nor there. I mean,
where was it going to be in 2030? I mean, we're going to buy $15 million a year to coach? I mean,
it's funny money. It is. It's play money. It's toy money. It's crazy. When we start, and I'm not knocking, don't get me wrong, but we've said many times, when you can get paid more money to hit a baseball or throw a baseball than you do to be the most powerful person in the world politically, I it's hard for me to figure all that out. But
good.
It's sensitive because people want to see that. They don't care about the guy that's running a country. They want to see the guy hitting the baseball.
No, well, it's show business. You know, look at the movie star.
Hello, yes, right.
And I think I don't ever have a problem with it. I when it comes to the college sport, which is supposed to be amateur, it is very conflicting.
Well, I don't want to make you guys jealous, but I'm sitting here smoking one of the new Ditka cigars. They're unbelievable.
Awesome.
Unbelievable. Now, I know it's early. For all you people out there listening to this, I'm telling you, this devil is pretty good.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad, Stevie, although, I don't know about this time of day for a cigar.
Well, listen, it's remarkable to watch the evolution of things and how this country has tipped towards sports. I suppose at some point, people are going to say, I'm not paying $10 for a hot dog. There's a tipping point at some point where they're going to stop paying it, or will they ever say that?
I don't know. I'm sure there is, but I don't know. It's whatever you raise the tickets on. If you raise the ticket, football prices, look at it.
Yeah.
Look at for baseball. What you know? Just look at the prices. People are still there. They still feel those stadium's up, they'll go in and they'll pay $10 for a hot dog and $5 for a beer.
Well,
I think crazy.
I'll tell you, at Soldier Field, I think it's like $9 for a beer. And but I will say they just drink a little less beer, but they'll buy the beer, but yeah. They just won't buy as many.
They'll bring it in somehow.
Right.
Put it in their thermos.
Hey, our final segment, I read a thing, we're back to tax rates. I read a thing where California total tax now at 52%. Johnny, at what point do people just move out?
Well, at that point, they're moving. And the businesses, some of them, are moving out. And we've seen that in Illinois, especially if you do have an option that makes sense nearby. As the country's taxes go up, there's no way to really go anywhere much better. So you'll pay the taxes until you just quit working. What happens is people just stop working. That's what, in a socialist economy, you can't get a good car. Your shelves are part empty. People quit doing anything because they don't get enough credit when they do, and they don't have to because it's free. That's all it is. You won't have the thing. You know, in Russia, Steve, when the Iron Curtain had not yet collapsed, you go to the store, you know, you go into our groceries, Mike, it's unbelievable. There's anything man has ever thought to eat is on the shelf.
Yeah.
But in a socialist country or a communist country, there may not be any bread. If you want to get bread, it comes Thursday morning. You better get in line. And that's what happens. People just keep doing less things because there's no – you have to pay all your money. You work all day, you take a risk, and you just give it all away if you're successful.
Yeah.
I went down to the Walgreens on the corner right here, and this is one of the biggest Walgreens or busiest, I guess, in the country. It's at the corner of Chicago and Michigan, and I went in to get a couple, things, shaving stuff and that, and deodorant. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, I wish I could tell you how many people were in there. It was astounding. Astounding. I mean, and they sell everything in there. You can get
everything. Look at that store.
Fruit. I bought some bananas, man.
I'm telling you, they have more stuff in there, and it's just a sign of incredible wealth that the country has and success that the United States
does. Well, but
have.
We can't get people's attention as to the dangers ahead. We can't get their eye contact on this. Time.
Well, it seems like we have a long way to go before we get in any real trouble. And a lot of it's rhetoric. And you hear so much talk. You got people talking about doom and gloom. You got people talking about, oh, it's going to be great. And then you, like Mike says, you go watch football or baseball and don't worry about it. And I don't know how close we are to some sort of calamity either. I just know that the principles that got us here, we're not honoring. That's all.
And I talked to a guy who owns a bunch of Subways yesterday, and he talked about how difficult it was to find anybody that will do that work. What does that say about our foundation here, the young worker? Are they folding their arms waiting for that big job, or they just don't want to get their hands dirty?
Well, no, I think it's just they don't have to. I mean, frankly, who wants to make sandwiches if you don't have to?
Yeah.
And we've gotten to the point where there's plenty of options to get money from some other source, I would guess. If you have to have the job, Steve, you're going to be happy to make Subways. But it's a matter of whether or not you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And if as we get into this mindset of you don't have to work, you're entitled to a certain amount without doing anything, then you're not going to have anyone that wants to do it. I mean,
Is that a difficult thing to switch around, or do we have to go through calamity?
Good question. I don't think it's that difficult. I think most people would be glad to have. I remember we talked about our friend Shad Khan of the Jacksonville Jaguars and how when he saw that he could get a job making $1.20 an hour, he knew he had control of his own destiny, and he was happy to do that, and he worked his way up in America. And I think that opportunity is right there, but it doesn't come without you're not entitled to that, and there's an absolute limit that a government can offer you. That's the thing, Mike. Americans always like that kind of romance of the sky's the limit. And if you've changed to another system, that's not the way it is. You're not allowed to get...
And also, the American people basically are grounded in debt. You know, they have no problem with debt. You know, you can have credit cards, you can have this, you can have that. You got a mortgage, you got a car payment, you got a credit card. You know, after a while, you got to say, wait a second. You know, you got to try to figure this out because in the long run, you're not doing, all you're doing is giving them the interest. well, over a period of time.
I tell you, too, finally, December 7th, 71 years ago, a day that shall live in infamy. I tell you, we all know people born in the 20s. That's a special generation. Those folks went through hell and back. And wow, you know, that foundation they laid and the greatest generation.
Yeah.
They're dying every day now on us.
Yeah.
Well,
you're right. And, you know, and we forget, you know, we forget about the great times in American history. That was certainly Pearl Harbor was pretty interesting. That's about, you know, that's, well, anyways, you know, but then again, you know, it got us more focused to get the war over, and we got it over, and we won it, and, you know. And I think those things that's why we are who we are.
Well, as the Japanese emperor says, Steve, I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
And they had. So, yeah. But no, Steve, I'm proud of our country, and we've got a lot of adventure left. So we're ready for it. But I think I'd like to see us get our house in order and quit fooling with the economy to the point where we may break it.
Guys,
do, like Abe Lincoln says, you cannot spend more than you earn. Period.
Well, we're going to leave it there. We'll call you guys Monday. We'll be watching ESPN all weekend to see Mike Ditka on the TV. Great to have both of you on. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. Where else would you hear Mike Ditka on the radio this long, every week, twice a week? The answer, nowhere. Great to have him on. We love it.